Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Slate.com wants you. Slate is launching The Hive, a series of projects designed to harvest the collective intelligence of Slate readers to solve practical problems. In each Hive, Slate readers will submit proposals that will be commented on and then voted on and later judged by experts. Ultimately, the readers and the judges will choose a dozen finalists, the top five ideas, and eventually a winner. And the first one is called The Efficient Life. Slate is looking for the best ideas for helping people to use less energy at home. Readers, and now I guess our listeners too, can submit proposals at Slate.com. But wait, before you do, you're going to want to know more about the project. So to tell us all about it, Daniel Gross is here. He's the author of the first article, The Efficient Life. Daniel, welcome to WNYC.
Hey, good to be here.
So, Daniel, everyone knows that energy efficiency is in vogue. Most people at least say they're concerned about emissions and global warming. But even if they're not, I'm thinking there have to be some other reasons to reduce energy use, like saving money.
I think that is the most compelling thing. We find this with the big corporations that we've been reporting about. They get into sustainability and alternative energy and that stuff because it's good for their image and it's good for branding, and then they quickly realize, you know, if I use less packaging, if I use less electricity, I make more profits. Now, for individuals and their homes, it's a slightly different calculation because we are not always profit-seeking entities like corporations. We don't have people whose job it is to figure out how to cut costs. And yet for many of us, if you live in a house, if you live in the Northeast, you spend a lot of money on electricity and heating. And if we were all able to reduce our own energy use by 3% or 5% or 10%, that would help put a dent in global warming. It would free up a lot of cash for us to pay down debt and spend on other things. It would free the utilities from needing to build new power plants. So there are a fair number of problems that could be solved. And what I set out to do, using my home as an example and kind of posing as the well-intentioned ignoramus, which, you know, wasn't too much of a stretch on my part. I am a method actor. To try to harness the intelligence of my readers, who are probably a lot smarter about these things than I am, and to explore what are the opportunities, where are we wasting energy, what are the things you can do that cost very little, what are the investments you do that can cost a lot, and then what are some of the kind of psychological, aesthetic, cultural, social barriers to doing so.
And what I love about the Slate project is you put your ideas out there in this article, The Efficient Life, but you also want Slate readers, and now we're asking our listeners to participate as well. They can go to Slate.com. You want readers to put their ideas into the mix, and then ultimately the best ideas will win. I guess that's the way to put it.
Exactly. I'm committing that at the end of this, I will commit to some investments and behavioral changes and then kind of track how that turns out. And there are a couple of ways for people to participate. One is on the main kickoff piece, we ask people to submit your idea, you know, just one idea. Put a solar-powered, put solar panels on your roof, you know, switch to compact fluorescent, et cetera, and then people can vote on those. And then if you look throughout the couple weeks of this project, I've been doing reporting where I bring in, you know, I have a home energy assessment and I bring in an insulation expert and I explore some of the issues about, you know, does automatic billing tend to make us less aware of the energy we're using? And then in the comments after those, you'll see a lot of very engaged readers, people who've been tracking their own energy use, have been talking about their experiences and sort of what has worked for them, and also in large measure about my own many failings.
Well, let's get our listeners to weigh in a bit, as you are asking your readers to do. We want to hear from our listeners on what you're doing to reduce energy consumption at home and in your daily lives. We all talk about it, but what are you really doing? And not just recycling, but what are you doing that's really clever and creative, something different? that maybe no one else has thought of. Our number is 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or you can post a comment on our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. I should mention, Daniel, that we put this up on our Facebook page, and we have some comments. One person says, don't get a car. Well, that's possible in a lot of places, not every place, but in many places you could get by without a car.
Mm-hmm.
Janine says, unplug your electronics when you're not using them. Sarah says, extra blankets and insulation. And Carla says, use a remote, unhook all your vampire electronics, TV, cable box. Hook your vampire electronics, TV, cable box, DVD player, microwave, etc., up to a smart power strip or surge protector that comes with the remote. That way you can turn off the entire power strip, all the vampire suckage, without having to get down on your knees and feel around on the floor for the switch, which is really smart, Daniel, because you're more inclined to do it, whereas you'd be lazy otherwise, and you probably wouldn't turn all that stuff off. And these are very thoughtful things that our listeners are suggesting. Now, in your piece, you talk about four practical ways for people to live a more energy-efficient life. Let's run through them. You talk about personal behavior, software, hardware, and information. Now, I like when you talk about personal behavior, you say it has to be non-obsessive. Why?
Well, it's part of my home energy assessment, which in the state of Connecticut is actually a great deal. You pay $75. These guys come to your house. They do a blower test. They give you compact fluorescence, and they give you this kilowatt device, which you can plug in any electric device, and then it tells you exactly how much electricity, you know, it uses, how much it uses when it's off and on, so you can start measuring. I think the issue with electricity is you consume a lot of it, but in little gulps here and there. So, you know, when your computer is, if you turn off your computer, it goes from using 110 watts to 30 watts. So that's a savings. And you know, if you do that for an hour, you can calculate that saves you some fraction of a penny. And, of course, that adds up over the month and over the year. But a lot of this is sort of behavior that, okay, if I power down the computer and then unplug it, or the act of unplugging my toaster when it's not plugged in and then replugging it in, all those things can save you energy. But the amount it's saving you is so minuscule at that moment that, you know, unless you're obsessive about it, you might not do it, right? You might walk by a penny on the floor because it's really, you're in a rush and it's not worth your while to pick it up. So I think part of the issue is just the way that electricity is consumed by all these devices in small gulps, but of course they aggregate. So the more things you can put on autopilot, mm-hmm. There are these power strips that kind of, when you turn off your computer, it then powers down all the other things, the printer and all the other things that are attached to it. And the similar thing with the TV, it powers down the VCR, the cable box, et cetera.
And it really ties into the title of your article, The Efficient Life. It
right.
has to be done efficiently or you won't do it at all. Let's
For me personally, the more I can outsource to technology, to a programmable thermostat, the better, because then it's different if you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to wake up, you know, before I go to sleep, I'm going to turn the thermostat down to 65. Before I go to sleep, I'm going to go through the house and unplug everything or turn off every single light. You probably won't do that every night, but if you can outsource that,
you make that very clear in the section when you talk about hardware, thinking through how you hardware the house. Hank, we're going to take a call from Hank, who's in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Hank, you're on with Daniel Gross talking about the efficient life. What do you do, Hank?
Right. Well, this is, I told you, Screener, this is a no-brainer, except it's an embarrassment factor that people, I don't know why they're embarrassed about it. Doonesbury has parodied it in his comic strip. If everybody in the country hung out their laundry and didn't use their dryer, obviously hanging your laundry out and letting the sun dry your laundry is the most basic form of solar energy. And I live in Ridgewood, and I dare say less than 1% do it here, and probably less than half of 1% do it in most areas, except some areas, maybe in rural, they do it. But nobody does it because they're embarrassed about what their neighbors would think. And it's solar energy, and no one, including your guests, and I've heard dozens of discussions like this, no one ever mentions hanging your laundry outside.
Good for you, Hank. And I have to say, when I travel abroad, I notice that everyone in Europe seems to hang out their laundry, Daniel Gross.
Right.
And
well,
they don't even have dryers in many parts of
the world. This is one of those issues where, you know, it's a question of sort of lifestyle choice, right? It's not just a question of, you know, programming a thermostat to save energy. This involves most people have made the investment. They already own a dryer. So are you going to walk away from that investment? Most people have grown up their entire lives knowing that if you want dry clothes, you throw it in this machine and it comes out exactly 35 minutes later and it's nice and hot and you're done, that you don't have to go outside. In other words, that, you know, it's a labor-saving device. The downside, of course, is that it does use energy. So are people willing to give up that convenience and lifestyle for the sake of what they will save? In addition, there's an aesthetic angle, which is important to Americans. You know, people who live in gated communities or condo developments, frequently their association rules will say you cannot hang out things to dry.
Yeah, I have to say, when I travel through, say, Italy, and I see all of that colorful laundry hanging out, I think it's a nice aesthetic. I think it's just we have a certain cultural affinity for what we do, and they have a different cultural affinity, and I guess our culture is more consuming of energy.
Yeah, well,
theirs.
It's also an issue, you know, it depends on the weather. If Hank wants to come to my house in January and
hang out his laundry,
tend to my frozen clothes, I'd be happy to have him come out here.
Let's take a quick call from Rick in Westchester. Rick, we're tight on time, but what are you doing to save energy?
Biggest thing I do is I got the programmable thermostats installed, and I turn it down to 60 degrees at night, and it doesn't get any warmer than 66 during the day. You get used to wearing a sweater. You get used to walking around with slippers. Not a big deal, and you save a lot.
Good for you, Rick, and it sounds like Daniel Gross. Rick is right on your page.
Well, again, this is the sort of lifestyle thing. We turn ours down, but I don't know, 60, you know, it's a question of how low you want to go and then how high you want to bring it up. And I think one of the issues with heating, unlike electricity, you can plug in these kilowatt devices and figure out precisely how much you're using, you know, by having a certain light bulb on and then how much you save by having it off. With heating, where you get your oil tank, which we have, gives you a pretty imprecise reading. And so it's hard to say, okay, this night I turned it down to 68, the next night I turned it down to 65, and as a result I saved, you know, 1 gallon, which cost $3. It's more difficult to get that type of real-time information with heating oil and propane and things like that than it is with electricity. So you're at something of a disadvantage there, or this is what I feel like, in terms of being able to say, if I do X, I will save Y.
All right. Well, Daniel Gross, I advise everyone to go read your piece at Slate.com, and more importantly, to participate in The Hive. Everyone should participate and send their ideas. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer, and we'll be right back after the news.